Look, it's a flood.
It's a flood.
It's flooding.
Get away.
Quick, we need to get to higher ground.
Open the floodgates.
So, I've been watching a lot of, like, video essays on South Park. But that's actually gotten me to get the Paramount Prime, or Paramount Plus, okay. So I can start watching the South Park stuff. So I watched, like, their Streaming War special. I watched their COVID specials.
I don't think I've seen the, entirety of the COVID specials yet, or the streaming. I don't think I've seen any of the Streaming War specials yet. I did watch the Prime special.
Yeah, that one was great.
I got cred, bitches. Cred.
So, you remember the Logan LaDouche commercial they did in that special?
Yeah.
Yeah. Once the special premiered, Logan Paul did a shot-by-shot recreation of them making fun of Logan Paul's...
In an attempt to be meta?
Yeah, but, like, the part where he was like, "Yeah, man, fuck you! I don't care about your feelings! Buy my shit!" And, like, Logan's actually doing that is like, oh, it's meta, I guess, but... He's just blatantly showing you. He's like, I'm an asshole.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, can you parody a parody of you? I think that takes a level of craftsmanship that Logan doesn't have.
There are a few people that do. Like, who can play a parody of Nicolas Cage, Charles Barkley, The Rock.
Yeah. Yeah, I think The Rock is fully self-aware, but I feel
most like WWE wrestlers probably.
Yeah, I was gonna say, I feel like, I mean, John Cena, right?
Yeah.
But we'll talk about the Oscars later. I don't think Logan does, though. But I feel like he feels like he had to do something, especially in this cred era that he has helped.
He got cred, bitches. He got cred.
That he helped usher in, right? Like, he can't not watch this, because you know he was watching South Park, right? Especially somebody has who have told him, like, oh, dog, they got you good, son. They got you good.
They showed that you got no integrity.
Damn. There goes our Zoomer audience. We might as well work on the Senate. Excuse me, work in the House.
Yeah.
Talk about that.
We got no cred, bitches. We got no cred.
What are you talking about? We are the favorite pop culture weekly pop culture digest.
Our level of cred is rising up and crashing through.
Heather haphazardly, but still sticking the landing, is dying.
Hands aching.
With the
blood,
as we said before, your favorite weekly pop culture digest, bringing you our pop perspective.
To put the culture in context.
And keep it, whoa, and make the mainstream make sense.
Because if we don't make sense, we don't make dollars. Hello.
Hey, you got messy there, but we came through in the end. Always come through in the end. Back at you again with more of the hottest headlines, more of your favorite internet trending topics, more of that tabloid gossip. You know what we do here. Keep it funky, and especially off top, we like to keep it funky by reminding you how we gain the algorithm.
And this week's hit on the algorithm is...
Whatever I Want, Meek Mill and 504, and I like how you pass that off to me, because you're like, I haven't. Listen, that shit is fire. You need to go listen to it if you haven't checked it out yet. Check out Meek Mill's hedonism. Meek Mill needs all the spins he can get, especially amongst the Diddy allegations. He is like, hey,
so,
yo.
Speaking of Meek Mill, have you heard Eminem's new single?
I was gonna spin that with you earlier, though. But I haven't. I'm not going to lie. That's why I didn't mention it, because I haven't bothered to listen to Doomsday 2. We've already had this discourse. I don't need to hash it out again. But I'm sure you've heard it, haven't you?
It was fine.
Yeah. Have you heard Hedonism yet? Have you listened to any of Hedonism?
Well, I mean, we just listened to that Meek Mill song, and it was good. I mean,
from the first minute that I played for you,
it was good.
What you feel?
It was good.
He's not gonna add it to rotation. Don't let him front. Zig is still listening to early 90s indie shit
that I've never heard before, though.
He's stuck.
I'm going through the milk crates of shit that
he's stuck in his denim jacket bag.
Shut up.
Scruffy flip hair days. He can't put it past
them. I'm getting a haircut on Tuesday. Leave me alone. Dick.
But as always, we game in the algorithm. And if you guys want to game the algorithm, go ahead and give that Hedonism a spin. But some of the other shit we got to spin with y'all this week. You know we got to talk about that TikTok ban. We've been gone for a little bit, so we got to get caught up on the Oscars. We also got to talk about Joe Biden's State of the Union speech, as well as...
We got to talk about the baddest man on the planet versus a YouTuber.
We got to say rest in peace to Akira Toriyama. You know, we got to give our condolences while we're talking about some of the other love that has been shown around the internet.
People want to cancel people for doing dumb shit. Well, South Beach has just canceled all of you doing dumb shit.
What a lead-in. Amongst all the other dumb shit that we gotta talk about this week. So, speaking of lead-ins, but right off top, outside of the algorithm, let's talk about Andrew Tate and Aiden Ross. Andrew Tate, fresh out the box, right? I mean, literally, like, fresh out the box, right? My man... just got home. He's doing his rounds, trying to plead his case.
Out of the box.
Making his speech as a, free and innocent man. I mean, literally just had all the spotlight thrown on him because of, Ryan Garcia going viral just recently talking about his Illuminati connections.
Oh, yeah, I did hear about that.
Yeah, Ryan Garcia.
He was like, they took me out into a fucking, like, pagan ritual in the woods, man.
It tied him down and made him watch children get violated. Look, Andrew Tate handled that as calmly as you probably... He was like, oh, man, I am about to go viral again, baby. Like, I am just a fucking cash-making machine. This shit is crazy. I'm like... Alex Jones out here, nigga, for the Illuminati mansplain red pill shit, right? Like, and then, in total opposite of that shit, right? You have Ryan Gosling doing Ken Enough at the Oscars, but we'll talk about that in a little bit. So, Andrew Tate, fresh out the box, right? You know, making waves with the whole... Ryan Garcia confession and the, I didn't even know they still did Twitter Spaces chats, right? I guess that's only for Blue Check subscribers now, right?
Subscribers. I'm still funny.
Aiden Ross, everybody's favorite, cringiest streamer alive, right? So cringy, in fact, that he was too cringy for Twitch and is now, like, exclusively streaming on Kick. If you don't know, Aiden Ross got his start like I guess homo baiting rappers with that like homo triggering shit, where he would pretend to be gay to like trigger super hyper masculine.
This sounds like PewDiePie type
interviewed all
behavior.
Kinds. Yeah, I mean it's just rage bait, cringe bait behavior. The same kind of shit like him and IShowSpeed get into. Like I don't know if you're into that side of the that's more like Zoomer streaming content.
I did see that Logan Paul and KCI and Prime are now the energy drink or hydration sponsor for the Lakers.
But you know who Aiden Ross is, right? Yeah. And if you don't know, well, Aiden Ross and Andrew Tate are like buddy buddy. Like Aiden Ross is like the Butters to Andrew Tate's Cartman. to keep the South Park references in check. No, but seriously, like Aiden is like a huge fucking Andrew Tate cheerleader. It's weird. Like it.
He's such a big Andrew Tate fan that his favorite artist is Pitbull.
I get where you're going with that. I don't know if everybody's gonna get where you're going with that. I don't think Pitbull would appreciate that. Mr. Worldwide, I don't think that.
Neither one of them would appreciate it.
I think Andrew Tate would appreciate the comparison. I'm sure he hits on girls and like tells dudes all the time. Yeah, bro. Girls think I'm Pitbull all the time. They walk up to me in the club and they're like, "Are you Pitbull?" And I'm like, "Bitch, is you serious? I'm fucking top G." All right.
So you're Pitbull.
Aiden had a flub on stream the other day where he revealed
a little mishap
that his buddy Andrew Tate hit him up and let him know that he was planning on leaving the country soon, Romania, the place where he had just been released from prison at.
Yep.
Right, where he was still awaiting trial and was potentially going to be extradited to London for crimes that he was facing in London. And Aiden said his buddy Andrew was giving him the exclusive one-on-one, kind of like, you know, his Tucker Carlson to Putin interview. They could do some content together before Andrew hit the books, right? Before Andrew got loose and got out of the paint real quick, right? And, well, it turns out Aiden shouldn't have let everybody know that because Andrew was immediately placed into custody.
I feel like it's just a bad idea to tell anybody who streams with that big of an audience a secret.
Anything.
Just like literally anything. I mean, I was joking with people before. I'm like, look, if you tell me something hilarious, I'm gonna tell Doc because it's hilarious.
This nigga is the Ellen DeGeneres of streamers, bro. He can't keep a fucking secret. It's like when Ellen DeGeneres tried to expose Mariah Carey for being pregnant and tried to make her drink. She was like, yo, okay, if you're not pregnant, Mariah, then just, you know, take a sip of this mimosa. Like, what's the harm? Like, everybody knows you like a good mimosa, Mariah. And Mariah was like, hey, come on, like, don't go there. Don't do it. Like,
that's so unnecessary.
Yeah. And you just described Aiden Ross's entire fucking career. Unnecessary. Absolutely.
Quote unquote career.
Unnecessary. I mean, look, don't knock streamers, right? Like,
how many TikTokers are gonna go to Kick?
I was getting ready to say the United States government is already trying to knock streamers, right? And they'll go to YouTube and Instagram before they go to Kick. I guess a fair amount of them will go to Kick. Should we go into that? You want to talk about that?
Sure, why not?
So, as of 4 days ago recording this, right? So today is the 17th, St. Patrick's Day. Hey, shout out St. Patty's Day. Do we have a St. Patty's Day drop? Oh, bagpipes. I don't know. What do bagpipes sound like? You do back, don't do back.
Fuck England!
As of 4 days.
That's the most Irish thing you can say on St. Patrick's Day. Fuck England!
As of 4 days ago, the House passed a bill that could ban TikTok in the US if the Chinese corporation Tencent doesn't give up ownership of the company.
Of the American branch of the company.
The American branch. The bill is slated for future Senate review, but there is a bit of consensus that this might not have as easy of a time getting through the Senate as it did the House, even though it overwhelmingly passed in the House.
Oh, yeah.
Right? It was like, what,
300 something to less than 100.
Yeah. You know, a few standouts of the no votes being like Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. Who else was it that voted no? There were a couple of Republicans that voted no. Donald Trump also came out and spoke against the bill, even though he had initially supported it during his run.
No, he got a big check.
But now he's saying that, you know, banning TikTok could have and has obviously had the backlash of the youth support, right? Because, I mean, overwhelmingly, the...
Yeah, because if there's one thing Donald Trump's going to get, it's the youth vote.
I mean, listen. There are young Republicans out there, right? There are young independents. And there are young people who...
Look, man, I just graduated from a pretty goddamn liberal college, and I saw the Young Republicans Club, and my God, if there were tomatoes in everybody's hands as they were walking past...
I mean, listen, you said the...
I gotta give the Young Republicans credit, though, because they didn't let us tread on them.
I mean, listen, the bill and Joe Biden are already facing strong pushback from influencers and content creators... because of Gaza and, you know, the support for Israel already, right? Joe Biden has already, his approval rating after the State of the Union speech was like the lowest it's ever been, despite the fact that his State of the Union speech approval rating was overall well received.
Yeah, it was, right? It was a solid speech.
It was
solid speech.
Yeah, he made some pretty grand stands there.
Like, I saw, so, the whole media manipulation thing, I have a friend who sends me all of these reels, and he's like, well, explain your fucking guy, and every single time...
What do you mean, explain your fucking guy?
And I'm like, hey, for starters, don't assume that I'm part of a monolith.
One.
Two, not a Biden fan.
Right, like...
Three... These are literally all anecdotal, out-of-context clips. Or, and he was talking about when Biden said the COVID vaccine is being used to cure cancer. And he was like, what? COVID vaccine is used to cure cancer? And I was like, John, it's the type of vaccine that the COVID vaccine is.
He meant RNA.
Yes.
RNAs are being used to develop vaccines to fight against certain...
Exactly.
Cancers. Yes.
So, the type of vaccine and how it actually works with the body, not literally the COVID vaccine. There are RNA vaccines, and it's not the chemical compound of the COVID vaccine, but it's being used for other medicines and works in the body the way the COVID vaccine does. And honestly, if we're talking about something that cures cancer, is it a bad thing? Like, really, no matter what it is? Like, oh, it cures cancer! Fuck this!
The House Republicans really seem to think that TikTok is a cancer on the American youth because they pushed through this bill. I think AOC said the bill was drafted and pushed through in 4 days, which is a bit concerning. I think the rush to get the bill through is something that should be paid attention to, right? Because of the overwhelming support and 352 to 65. They can't even get that kind of bipartisan support
to have someone run the House
or a gun legislation, right? Like, or any kind of health care, right? But when it came to TikTok, they like almost tripped over each other to vote to ban that shit. So you have to wonder, right?
It does make me think for a second, though, how wild is this Gen Z? That they're like, alright, no, we gotta take this away from them.
No, I mean, but listen. TikTok has done some damage. I'm not gonna sit here and I'm not gonna pretend like...
Looking at you, Milk Crate Challenge.
You don't have a stranglehold on y'all, right? I tried. And like with opiates, it wasn't for me, right? I didn't have the gene, the TikTok gene in my brain. It didn't click there. I kind of fall into the Instagram reel and the YouTube shorts pit every now and again. But even, I just like my long form content.
Me too.
And I make podcasts.
Yeah.
Bro. Like,
I watch 25 minute long video essays.
It's
about South Park.
It's hard.
And then complain that they're not long enough.
Not complain that they're not long enough.
I was watching a 15-minute video essay from FD Signifier on the way over here about why black people are good at Tekken.
We're good at what?
Tekken.
Oh, are good at Tekken. I haven't seen that one yet either. I'm waiting to watch. I'm thinking about subscribing to his Patreon or to Nebula so I can watch the breakdown he did on black WWE wrestlers. Because FD deserves all this. Andrew Tate does not. I haven't decided whether or not TikTok deserves my support yet. Are you guys giving TikTok your support? Are y'all TikTok? Do our viewers also view TikToks? Who are your favorite TikTok?
Besides the flip pod, obviously.
Do we still post on TikTok?
I actually posted something earlier today on TikTok.
Oh, okay.
I mean, like, yeah, we're both guilty. We both need to post more. So, but we're also both pretentious perfectionist twats who want to make sure everything that we post is fucking immaculate.
And are in on and off again in school and also work full-time jobs. But if you want for this to be our full-time job, then you know, you can support us at The Flood Pod on everything, and that's including our Patreon at The Flood Pod. And
before we get back on track, let me give a shout out to all our Patreon, Enraged Peacock, and Stin A. Ruse K.
Adam with the piglet. All right. So I think we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back at y'all off top with this Nickelodeon children's star expose.
Lots of PDF files.
You take a sound, any sound, record it, and then change its nature by a multiplicity of operations. You record it at different speeds, you play it backwards, you add it to itself over and over again. You adjust filters, echoes, acoustic qualities, you combine segments of magnetic tape. By these means and many others, you can create sounds which no one has ever heard before.
Shimmy, shimmy, y'all, shimmy, y'all, shimmy, yay. Give me the mic so I can take it away.
I do want to ask you. You're wearing Fila?
Forever, I love Atlanta. Are you trying to...
Is that what it stands for?
Who's me?
I didn't know Fila was a thing still. Or are those retro?
They're not Fat Farm, sir, so, like, let's not go there.
How much were they at Marshall's?
They weren't at Marshall's. Oh, he's got jokes. Did Mom buy you that denim jacket, too?
At Marshall's.
Quiet on set. The Dark Side of Kids TV, a documentary being developed by investigative reporter Kate Taylor of Business Insider, featuring the voices of former Nickelodeon royalty, right, who have not spoken publicly before, but notably Drake Bell, who recently revealed sexual abuse allegation claims from his former dialogue coach, Brian Peck. Others appearing in the documentary include Alexa Nicholas of Zoe 101, Giovanni Samuels, Kyan Sullivan, Ryan Herney, and Katrina Johnson of All That Fame, and Mark Summers, the host of Double Dare, right? So it's got some pretty notable Nickelodeon names, right, from some pretty notable Nickelodeon shows, not just your one-offs. And I'm almost certain some of our listeners also happen to be on Reddit. I'm sure you've heard about some of the other unsavory types that worked at Nickelodeon, right?
That just makes me, what the fuck happened when somebody got grabbed in Legends of the Hidden Temple?
Yikes. No, they have had...
Where did Timmy go? We haven't seen him for an hour! Comes back with a 1,000-yard stare.
Nickelodeon has had registered sex offenders working on their staff before who have used their time working at Nickelodeon to abuse kids. So there have been some questionable things that happened during those orange years, a reference to the Hulu documentary, which we did speak very fondly of,
yep,
of on this podcast as well. So this is almost like the antithesis to that, which, I mean, come on now. We all know that children's TV, Hollywood.
We also know about Dan Snyder.
Hollywood is already a toxic environment. Surprise, surprise, not surprise that children's TV is also a toxic environment, which is why you should support SAG and the Screenwriters Guild, so that people don't, including children, don't get abused. But we won't go there, right? That's like, are you gonna watch it?
No.
No.
I'm not gonna watch it just because. Why? This is.
Is it because it feels like Drake Bell is doing this to dodge his sexual abuse allegations? Because there is that argument being made on the internet. By the internet, I mean X.
I don't want to like.
I mean Twitter.
To say that I don't care is not fair. To say that.
You can say you're not interested in the documentary.
It's not that I'm not interested. It's just it doesn't feel like current to me, and it wouldn't serve anything productive. Like, it would just give me further details on an already something I already have bad opinion of.
It's a pretty open secret, right, that children's television is toxic, right?
Yeah.
And it falls into this hysteria right now that is the, you know, grooming aspect and child trafficking and just trafficking and like just the dirtiness that is Hollywood, right? Like with Diddy and the sex blackmailing and stuff like that that we're talking about right now. It all just feels like another chip in the armor that is Hollywood. And I find it all funny considering that the top winner at the Oscars almost a couple of years in 2015 was La La Land.
Yeah.
And that was like a reminiscence, like a love poetry to Hollywood or like the idea that is Hollywood. Meanwhile, I'm interested to see how much of an impact this actually makes considering the discourse that's going on. Right, with all of the exposés, are we almost exposéed out? Are we tired? Or is this one just going to get thrown on the shelves? Because it feels like left and right now, everybody is getting exposed for something.
I mean, 2024 is the year of truth tellers. You can blame Cat Williams.
Yeah, like, that's what I'm saying. So keeping in trend with that. Right now we have this, the dark side of kids.
You know, I bet Ned and Moe's had fun, though.
I saw something just recently that was talking about how they were all, like, hooking up.
The whole, like, as soon... All right, my senior project, we did the parody in Ned's Declassified, right? So that story broke, like, 4 days before we started filming.
Nice.
And I mean, the whole semester, I was just like, nope, I am not bringing this up in my team of all women, not doing it.
How could you not? How could you? I mean, that's like people not talking about John Cena walking out naked during the Oscars to present the award for best costume, right? Because what a better way to present the award for best costume than wearing absolutely nothing? And who else was gonna do it other than the himbo himself, right?
I feel, all right, so I get where you're coming from calling John Cena a himbo, but I feel like John Cena is almost like a pseudo himbo. Like Travis Kelce is the himbo.
I don't know if we'll have to, listeners, y'all decide who the bigger
TK?
Himbo is. I'm not really.
TK, who's the bigger himbo?
I'm not really. Here.
Travis Kelce?
That argument, I just know that the classification is there.
Or John Cena.
John Cena firmly sits inside of that category from what I have observed on the internet.
He's reached the category of just like celebrities you just like to see do stuff.
Well, I mean, the guy is also the like record holder for most
16-time world champion.
I was going to say last Wish Foundation, Wishes Fulfilled.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, there were rumors. Also saw rumors on the internet, and by internet, I mean X, and by X, I mean Twitter, that John Cena was undergoing a humiliation ritual to push down some allegations that were about to come out about him via the whole Vince McMahon thing that's happening right now. And I was just like, you guys are wild. Why can't... Everybody's gotta have...
How can you have evidence on someone you can't see?
You don't think Vince was blackmailing all of them too, the way Diddy and Epstein were? I mean, if Epstein was for, like, politics and academics, and Diddy was for, like, hip-hop and pop stars, why wouldn't Vince McMahon be the one...
Like, wrestling and circus clowns?
Sports and sports entertainment.
Sports entertainment, I guess.
I mean, we're talking about handlers, right? Like, yo, did you see Kanye came out just recently and said, "Oh, dude, it was Diddy, Dave Chappelle, and I can't remember who the third person was." But he said Diddy and Dave Chappelle and one other third person were the handlers for all of Black Hollywood and Black entertainment, right? Like, in that Illuminati conspiracy theory.
Not Tyler Perry.
I don't think it was Tyler Perry. Dave Chappelle as a handler is wild, especially considering this nigga got loosened. But I mean, they claim that they, you know, got to him and reprogrammed him and that it's a clone and all of that bullshit, right? Like, Dave being buff now and being able to beat a nigga ass on stage for running up on him the way Chris Rock could never do. Makes you think, man. It really makes you think. Is Kanye onto something? Do y'all think Dave Chappelle is a handler? You think Oppenheimer deserved to win Best Picture?
I actually need to watch that one still. That's been something that, in my mixing of watching, like, the Grand Theft Auto 5 games movie and South Park video documentaries, I have been meaning to watch Barbie and Oppenheimer.
Yeah, so both Barbie and Oppenheimer obviously were nominated for Best Picture. Oppenheimer obviously took home Best Picture winner. Some of the other nominees were American Fiction, Anatomy of Fall, The Holdovers, Killers of the Flower Moon, Maestro, Past Lives, Poor Things, and The Zone of Interest. Best Supporting Actress went to Divine Joy Randolph from The Holdovers, right, alongside Emily Blunt, Danielle Brooks, America Ferrera, and Jodie Foster. Best Animated Short Film went to The War Is Over. I don't know. John and Yoko.
The Best Animated Feature Film went to The Boy and the Heron, which is a Miyazaki movie.
Right, alongside Elemental, Nimona, and Robot Dreams, and Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse. Listen, I am a Studio Ghibli stan. You know,
but there's so few things I have ever seen that is a better visual spectre than Across the Spider-Verse.
Spider-Verse was a fucking visual animated master. I get it. It's a hard call, but honestly, though, I really feel like it's kind of a shame that it didn't go to Across the Spider-Verse.
I haven't seen Boy and the Heron. What I have heard, it is one of the... It's not one of the premier Miyazaki movies.
I haven't heard bad things about it.
Like, you're not going to hear bad things, right, about a Miyazaki movie.
But it's not impactful the way I feel like Across the Spider-Verse.
Even other Miyazaki films.
No, it doesn't have the cultural impact that, I mean...
Princess Mononoke, Spirited Away, Howl's Moving Castle.
Or Across the fucking Spider-Verse.
Yeah, yep, yep.
Like, let's keep it a whole ass bit, bro. That shit is kind of crazy. Best Original Screenplay went to Anatomy of Fall, which I have not seen. Best Adapted Screenplay went to American Fiction, which I had seen pushed by some of the influencers that I follow on Instagram. I think Fantastic Frank was the one, if I can remember. Best Production Design, Best Costume winner went to Things. International Feature went to Some Interest. Best Supporting Actor went to Robert Downey Jr. for Oppenheimer.
I watched his acceptance speech and everybody was like, "Oh my god, Robert Downey Jr. is Tony Stark!" And I watched RDJ's acceptance speech and I was like, "No, Tony Stark is Robert Downey Jr.
I feel like him winning Oppenheimer, or the supporting actor for Oppenheimer, right, kind of justified to him that he could still do something outside of the Marvelverse, right? Like, that he was still...
The more I see RDJ just out and about being RDJ, the more I realize he didn't have to act as Iron Man.
And, no, and I could have easily been Tom Cruise, right? Tom Cruise. And this was alongside other nominees like Sterling K. Brown for American Fiction, Robert De Niro in Killers of the Flower Moon, Ryan Gosling in Barbie, Mark Ruffalo in Poor Things, right? So,
Robert Downey Jr. had some serious Kennergy.
How did you feel about Ryan Gosling's performance of Ken Enough?
That was so fun! Like, Ryan Gosling is reaching the point with John Cena. He's a celebrity. I just like seeing do things.
It's
like, he, for the most part, he's like a non-problematic, charming, nice white guy.
People are calling this Oscars boring. I mean, outside of the John Cena stunt.
And I'm just Ken.
And who was it? Vanessa Hudgens announcing her pregnancy. And Godzilla Minus One winning Best Visual Effects.
With, right? Like, the smallest, like, fucking budget.
It, which is just following the nature that is Godzilla, right? Like, keeping in touch with its origins. This literally, I'm so mad.
Like, the original Godzilla movies were made on a fucking Warhammer 40K table.
I'm so mad I didn't get to see this shit in theaters. And it's taking forever to come to streaming. I hope there are rumors that it's supposed to be getting a rerun in theaters in black and white. And I'm definitely going to be getting a babysitter for that.
Did you get a babysitter for the Morbius re-release?
Fuck. Out of here.
Best actress went to Emma Stone. Poor Things.
Oh, Poor Things.
Yeah.
And that was... And she beat out...
Lily Gladstone for Killers of the Flower Moon, who everybody thought was going to win.
Right, and would have been the first Native American actress to win a Best Actress Award at the Oscars. Obviously, Best Actor went to Cillian Murphy for Oppenheimer, who lots of people are thinking even Pierce Brosnan would be a perfect fill-in for the 007 James Bond role.
The Cillian Murphy hype has actually got people fan-casting him for another role. Dr. Doom.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Batman.
Dr. Doom.
I could see that, actually. I could see that, and I wouldn't be mad at that.
I mean, I don't really care what the actor who plays Dr. Doom looks like. Because he wears a fucking metal mask.
I don't really care what the actor who plays Dr. Doom looks like, as long as he doesn't do a weird celebrity boxing spinoff when he's done. Let's talk about Jake Paul and Mike Tyson.
The baddest man on the planet.
57-year-old Mike Tyson is set to fight 27-year-old Jake Paul. And listen, I'm not saying 57-year-old Mike Tyson in the way everybody is like 81-year-old Joe Biden, right? Because just how Joe Biden came out swinging for that State of the Union speech, oh, you better believe Mike Tyson has been letting Jake Paul fucking know, brother.
That one video I saw where he was doing the thing and he just looks at the camera and he goes, "You still wanna fuck with me?" No, Mike, I don't. I sure as hell don't.
It was Logan and Floyd Mayweather.
Yeah.
Right?
It was Logan and Floyd.
So both brothers are trying to make spectacles of themselves fighting, like, some of the top boxing champions of all fucking time.
Now, right? Neither one of the brothers is particularly likable.
Or good at boxing, for them.
Or good people. Right. But... Jake is definitely the one I want to see get his ass whooped more.
I've got to give it to Netflix, right? Because they are continuing their shot into live content with this one.
Oh, and I mean, they're going to get, like, I'm going to watch this.
Yeah.
Because it's on Netflix. Like,
my man said, I'm not watching that quiet on set documentary, but I will watch the spectacle that is Mike Tyson v. Jake Paul. Right? Live.
I already paid for Netflix, so it's essentially free.
July 20th, mark your calendars, right? Because there's no way that you are going to miss out on this. It is going to be bananas. And I'm here for it because there's rumors that Mike Tyson is also trying to start up some kind of like emotional intelligence school, right? Or a school that focuses on emotional intelligence.
He's a great weed brand, apparently.
I'm here for that. If that's what he's putting the bag towards, then fucking go for it.
Weed and mental health.
The AT&T Stadium at the home of the Dallas Cowboys can seat about 80,000 people, so
that's an understatement.
You already know this is gonna be one for the year. I didn't have this on my 2024 bingo chart. I can tell you that.
Really, this wasn't even that far out of the realm of possibility with the bingo card.
And on that note, I think we're going to take a quick break so we can come up with some more words to describe some of the other headlines we had to talk to y'all about after this.
One for Charlie. Hey, she's got two. I want another one. Sparky.
Everybody has had one, and one is enough.
Welcome back.
Welcome back. When was the last time you saw it in Among Us?
It's been a couple of months.
Yeah. Unlike the Minions meme, right, that just seem to keep popping up every now and again, like, you know, chicken pox or the comic cold, right? We can't seem to get rid of those, but I had good certainty that we were done with the Among Us memes, right? But in this week's rendition of Who the Fuck Asked for This?
Oh, yo, it's me, the guy who asked.
What is this?
But why?
Hey, who man's is this?
Why would you do that? Why would you do any of that?
Who man's is this?
Are you serious?
A cast list just dropped for... Is it CBS? Yeah, CBS Studios with the creation of Owen Dennis from Infinity Train, right? Are in production to develop an Among Us TV show, animated series, with Titmouse, the studio behind Big Mouth and all kinds of other Adult Swim shows.
Oh, by the way, if you like Big Mouth, you're a pedophile.
Apparently. According to TikTok, right? So just remember that when you rush to those polls. That was bad timing. Randall Park, Elijah Wood, Yvette Nicole Brown, a couple of other notables. I am surprised at some of the names that they got to sign up for this TV show. I mean, you would know Yvette Nicole Brown from Community, right? Everybody already knows who Elijah Wood.
Floodpod favorite, Randall Park.
Has been, you know, in the spotlight for a while now with his Marvel features, as well as people who followed him all the way from Fresh Off the Boat. I didn't think I would watch, if you had not told me the cast, right? I would go, no way. Absolutely no way I'm watching an Among Us TV show. But now, I might watch the Among Us TV show. I am not gonna say I like that pedophile groomer content that is Big Mouth, right? But I did like the other show that they did, HR or whatever the fuck it is, Human Resources, That show was funny because I'm not a pedo.
Oh, you have a family? You must be a pedo.
I did not. Who the fuck asked me? Right? Like, and this is how many years too late? Like, at least 2 years too late at this point.
I kind of put Among Us memes, like, in the same group as, like, the Knuckles Do You Know The Way meme.
Or Minions memes. They got to be, like, as ubiquitous as Minions memes for a little bit, right? Like, anytime you see, like, a bubble-shaped figure with, like, a little...
like, visor?
Yeah, it's an imposter. I thought we got away for that, but no, apparently you guys enjoy that shit so much, CBS wants to make it a TV show.
The internet has trolled so much, they got Sony to put Morbius back in the theaters.
You know who else was having a bit of Morbin time herself? Olivia Rodrigo. Olivia Rodrigo was going all the way based and handing out emergency contraceptive at her Guts tour in different locations. Specifically, I think the stop in Missouri with the Missouri Abortion Fund and Text Right By You about a youth-focused hotline providing reproductive rights and resources at her last concert in March, right? And this was the one that seemed to garner a whole lot of focus amongst conservative pundits and politicians and upset parents who were mad that she was handing out, women's reproductive contraception at her shows where kids were at. So much so that she has now had to stop handing out the contraceptive pills and condoms, right? Which I think is super wild because, you know, the only reason she had to stop doing that shit, the only reason it's even an issue right now, is because of that whole Roe v. Wade shit where conservatives are pretending like they really care about abortion, even though I'm sure everybody who is upset at Olivia Rodrigo right now, probably, I won't say everybody, but I'll say a good 75 to 85% of them went to fucking Sex Pistols and Guns N' Roses concerts where they were handing out condoms left and fucking right. And if there was abortion pills back then, I'm sure they would have been handing those out too.
They were handing a lot more out at Guns N' Roses concerts.
I'm just saying. So it's...
They have a song called Mr. Brownstone.
We've talked about it.
Oh yeah.
The irony of these people, and we've talked about this too, but the irony of these people being so pearl-clutching is absolutely bananas to me, bro. And I cannot fathom, like, it goes right alongside with Donald Trump doing a fucking 180 with the whole TikTok thing, right?
Well, I'm sure there's money behind that.
It's like, you know, they cause all this, they cause all this controversy, right? Like, they were the ones that grew up during the fucking satanic panic, and now they want to label everybody as groomers, right? They had the parents who grew up during the fucking Red Scare, right? But now they're running around with the fucking rainbow agenda shit, right? Like, they're just, like, I guess it's the evil that you know, right?
Kind of thing.
It's so wild to me that now her whole organization that she's trying to use to bring education, she's trying to use her platform to bring, you know, education to these topics and, you know, provide some kind of relief to the girls and women who are fans of
her. And I respect that.
That are seeking.
I can respect that.
It's not even in the skeevy way that condoms were handed out at fucking Van Halen concerts.
Or Warped Tour.
Right, so I'm just saying, like, it was only a couple of years ago that you could get Molly at a Miley Cyrus concert, but everybody was like, oh, Miley's going through a phase, but Olivia Rodrigo hands out, has, like, official organizations, right? It's not even like she's just tossing Plan B into the crowd like DaBaby would. No, instead, you know, she's trying to do this, the official kind of way, and they are outraged about it, and it just, I don't know, it's further saying the quiet part out loud, them pulling back the curtain so you can get a peek behind it even further, it's absolutely wild. You know who else caught a little fleck from the conservatives this week? Kristen Stewart and Rolling Stone debuted a new cover that sent conservatives into a tizzy.
Well, it's not hard to do that nowadays.
No, but this cover, I would say, is definitely triggering Kristen Stewart in a with a full-on fucking mullet in a jock strap, right? With her hand down her pants. You know, the queer coding, it's loud, it's proud, it's out there.
You're giving me, like, Joan Jett vibes with that.
All in a effort to promote her new lesbian thriller movie, Love Lies Bleeding, right? She was just on The Late Show with Stephen Colbert to promote the new film where they talked about the cover art for the Rolling Stone cover. And she has since responded to some of the controversy around all of that. You know, just calling the detractors sexist and homophobic. And it's just...
I feel like that pretty much just sums it up.
How do you feel about the cover, though? I mean...
Rolling Stone. They've been doing wild shit since 1970. I'm not shocked. Honestly, if Rolling Stone isn't going for shock value, I'd be...
Like, I mean, but Kristen Stewart, right? Do you feel like she's going for... I haven't seen the trailer for the thriller yet.
Well, Kristen Stewart's not somebody who's really been in the, like, cultural limelight for a couple of years.
Right. So do you feel like this is more like her trying to be edgy to stir up controversy to promote the movie? Do you feel like it's her trying to speak out and be kind of, like, pushing the narrative a little bit?
I feel like she went to Rolling Stone... and was like, I want to be controversial and get attention that way. And Rolling Stone, being the dying media empire that it is like, we're cool with that.
Right, so that's kind of my point. Do you feel like this is more of just, you know, pushing the edge for pushing the edge sake? Or do you feel like she's being... Or this was like an artistic narrative kind of thing? But you, what you're saying is you totally feel like... it's just Kristen Stewart trying to stir the pot to stir the pot.
It's Kristen Stewart stirring the pot to show everybody that she is stirring the pot.
So when you see actors and actresses doing it, and we see conservatives respond the way that they respond, do you feel like they are within their right to respond do you feel like they're in their right to respond with backlash when artists and actors do things?
But I mean, every artist is...
Because when you say you feel like it's her just trying to be controversial and not for, like, art's sake, right? Because she is promoting this new movie, which is quoted as a lesbian love thriller, right? Love Lies Bleeding. So I feel like it's probably a tie-in to the, I guess, masculine, aggressive, dirty nature of her character.
Yeah, like that's a very CBGB's type cover. Yeah, like that's a very CBGB's type cover. And that's really fitting for Rolling Stone. And, right, and really the Kristen Stewart image that she's been, like, cultivating since she broke up with Robert Pattinson.
She's got, like, this utility biker vest on, right? Like, it's leather. It's got, like, lots of button pockets on. She's wearing that with nothing else over top. So, you know, just a leather vest on top of her bare chest. She's got the jock strap on, hand down her pants. She's standing in what looks to be like a dirty gym in front of the bar rack. It does, and you know, and the Rolling Stone cover just reads Kristen Stewart, uncensored. So, you know, you feel like you're going to get this.
That you feel like Kristen Stewart's about to pull her dick out.
And she's going to do it in this raw exclusive interview with Rolling Stone where they discuss her new movie. obviously, like you said, conservatives are going to look at this and be like, you know, what kind of agenda are you pushing here?
This seems like the perfect spot for someone who hasn't been in the public limelight in a while to go somewhere that is a public cornerstone that people haven't really been paying attention to as often.
Now, let me ask you this. Are you interested anymore in reading the article than you would have been if I told you Kristen Stewart did an article in Rolling Stone?
Eh.
No.
I mean, honestly, if you...
Are you interested in seeing the movie at all? Or at least seeing the trailer for the movie? Considering the backlash and the controversy around the cover to the Rolling Stone issue.
Honestly? No, not really.
Not really checking for Kristen Stewart. I mean, it doesn't seem like you're checking for much lately other than compilations of Metal Gear Solid. And excuse me, video essays about the latest South Park run. So after watching the latest South Park run. Alright, we've come to the end of our show and we saved the hardest topic as we normally do. But this topic isn't, you know, one of our political or theoretical or philosophical kind of face. This is a tribute that we have to pay because we would not be doing our Justice Pop Culture Podcast. We did not say R.I.P.
to Akira Toriyama. I wouldn't be who I was today if it wasn't for Akira Toriyama.
I mean, lots of us wouldn't be, and I think that was displayed in the overwhelming support for his legacy.
Even Stephen A. Smith chimed in.
I mean, all across the globe.
He may have called him Vegeta, but...
The man born April 5th, 1955, died March 1st, 2020, left behind a creation that helped move, mold, and just, you know, influence generation after generation of anime fans. I mean, Dragon Ball Z and...
Without Dragon Ball Z, there is no Naruto, One Piece, Hunter x Hunter.
There would be no Toonami. There are rumors that Toonami was on its way to being canceled until Dragon Ball Z. Right. Dragon Ball Z, you know, also had taken off in Latin America like 3 months before it aired on Toonami. So way before here, even in America, it was touching people like internationally. Right, this cartoon, this anime, this manga, this comic, however you want to put it, has had an influence that can be seen everywhere from the NBA to FIFA, UFC.
Pretty much every single cartoon imaginable.
Yeah, has a Goku reference. In fact, now the metric literally is your hero, your guy, isn't that guy unless he can go toe-to-toe with Goku. It's like, it's Zeus? No.
There's
Goku,
two...
Yeah.
When it comes to who would win arguments, there are two types of assholes. There's the, well, can he beat Goku? And then there's me. Well, Batman has prep time, right?
And, I mean, let's just all agree that for the foreseeable time...
For the month of March, Goku wins. Just don't argue.
March 1st, you heard it first here. March 1st is officially Akira Toriyama. Maybe April 5th, right? Because April 5th is still coming up, and that was his actual birthday. So, you got maybe, why not just do both? But either way, R.I.P. to the legend. It's already been said a lot by the time you guys hear this podcast. But I mean,
also, a great pioneer for representation with Bulma and Piccolo.
Listen, man, the entire Dragon Ball universe has left its mark. And it's just, it's, it's a cultural icon. I mean, championship ring would be an understatement.
Yeah.
Would be an understatement. You really just... It is the anime, right? Like, I don't think there is any argument, right? Just kind of like how, you know, SpongeBob is the cartoon now.
I'd say it's more important to anime than SpongeBob is to kids' cartoons.
I mean, absolutely. Right, but I'm saying as far as, like, recognition.
Oh, yeah.
Right, like, I think, you know, more people probably recognize Goku.
That, I don't know about that one. They'd recognize Goku more than Black Jesus.
That's...
I wonder who... Do you think more people in the world recognize Goku or Pikachu?
Probably Goku. Goku or Mickey Mouse.
Mickey Mouse. I say the three most universally known people or figures are Mickey Mouse, Jesus, and Hitler. Specifically white Jesus. Give me, like, your favorite Dragon Ball character and moment.
Favorite Dragon Ball character. I mean, I have to take Piccolo out here, but I'm being honest with you. Just, you know, it's got to be Piccolo, right?
Piccolo is that man.
I mean, you talk about Sigma energy, dog. Like, Piccolo really was that guy.
Piccolo was that man.
You know, the original step in. I'm not a stepfather. I'm the father who stepped up. Favorite Dragon Ball moment? I don't know. The Cell Saga, right? Because that was just like that was the OG arc. That was gotta get home, gotta finish this. I gotta see how this ends up. You know, Goku give Cell the Senzu Bean so he could handle Gohan, like all that shit. Like that, just classic, man. Really made me want to go back and rewatch it. Start with Dragon Ball, right? Like the original.
Dragon Ball's actually kind of hard to watch because it is very...
I don't know. I feel like Dragon Ball is underrated, man. Like, yeah, I guess some of the jokes are 80s cringe, right? But if you look at it...
Very sus. Very sus.
I mean, listen, have you seen... The more I'm watching JJK, the more I'm like, this shit could be so queer-coded if they wanted it to be. If it is, it probably is, bro. Anyway, I mean,
well, my favorite character is Bulma. I mean, love Bulma. And my favorite moment is when Trunks cuts Frieza in half. When Trunks cut Frieza in half, yo.
Yeah, that was a Ex Machina moment.
Yeah. I was like, what? This guy just showed up and just OD'd on Frieza!
Yeah, everybody else just had a fucking time with, right? So it's like, yeah, that's when you knew Trunks was really there. It was like, oh, okay. Alright, so we got a new contender in the build-up, and I mean...
Goku would be dead without Bulma. Many times over.
I mean, Bulma needed Goku to find the Dragon Balls, which is why, like... Never forget that the original character... The original main character of Dragon Ball we discussed is Bulma. Goku was always the side character until Dragon Ball Z. Dragon Ball Z was like his spinoff, right?
Yeah.
It is.
We deadass took characters named after fucking vegetables seriously. Never questioned it.
I mean, we deadass did a whole ass episode where we based it around the fucking
Tournament of Power.
Yeah, the Tournament of Power. Not to call it the Universal Tournament. That's how you know. Need to go ahead and wrap it up, man. I'm getting lost in the sauce.
None of this is normal, but what should be normal is buying all of your Yu-Gi-Oh, Pokemon, Magic the Gathering, Flesh and Blood, board games, and card game supplies at TokenMTG.com and use the promo code Ziggy to get 10% off of your order. And before we get out of here, before we get back on track, let me just give a shout out to all our Patreons in Rage Peacock
and
what's a cruise line that they always show commercials for?
Carnival.
And Carnival cruise ships.
And we'll be back at you guys next week with more headlines and hot takes.
Deuces!
Look, it's a flood!
It's a flood.
It's flooding!
Get away!
Quick, we need to get to higher ground!
Open the floodgates.
Why can't we talk about
it? It is time to talk.